I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is not like the beginning of COVID where we were dealing with a new virus. We didn't have a vaccine. There actually is a vaccine developed already against H5N1. The Biden administration has contracted with manufacturers to make almost 5 million doses of the vaccine. However, they have not asked the FDA to authorize the vaccine. There's research done on it. They could get this authorized now and also get the vaccine out and to farm workers and to vulnerable people. I think that's the right approach because we don't know what the Trump administration is going to be doing around bird flu. If they have people coming in with anti-vaccine stances, could they hold up vaccine authorization? If they don't want to know how much bird flu is out there, could they withhold testing? I mean, that's a possibility. And I think the Biden administration in the remaining days should get testing and vaccines widely available so that at least it empowers state and local health officials and clinicians to do the right thing for their patients.
And here we go again, a fear factor building over, one, a virus that you might need a vaccine for or not. And then, of course, will it be safely approved? Well, that is Lena Wynn, former Baltimore Health Commissioner, saying we've got vaccines out there. They just need to be fully authorized for the FDA. And she's calling immediately for the Biden administration to push for authorization and get 5 million doses to the American people as fast as possible. Now, hold on one second. This is different than COVID. Let's be very clear about that. COVID was a total unknown. What we're dealing with here is the bird flu, also known as H5N1. Vaccines have been around for some time, and it's been primarily considered the avian flu. But there have been reports across our nation, and especially in California, where it's now being seen and detected in farm animals. And, of course, there's concern about the farm workers and their children. But we've been down this road before, and these guys led us astray, in fact, pushed us into a corner, threatening us in many cases, and also giving us lie after lie after lie. So we're at that point. How can you trust them? Who do you trust? And she's already suggesting, look, the Trump administration, they're going to be coming out with some people that might be anti-vaxxers. That's a direct point to RFK Jr. He says he's not. He just wants to make sure the vaccines are good, safe, effective. But they're drawing that line again. And they're trying to gin up fear in advance of Trump coming in. We'll break it down for you. Glad to have you on board. Here we are, December 30. My gosh, December 30, 2024. And reminding you, we are here every day from 6 to 8, Monday through Friday for you. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You can watch Larry Connors USA at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Rumble, News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. And everything goes up as a podcast when we finish. So then you can also go back and pull it up, watch again, share with others, and I encourage you to do so. Again, this would be at News Talk STL Podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com, or Larry Connors USA Facebook. Or go to any podcast outlet you prefer. We appreciate you using us. But anywhere, search Larry Connors USA. All right, let's get some backdrop again on this bird flu, the avian flu, and they've got the H5N1 vaccines. They have been used for some time. I haven't seen any direct major issues with them. You're always going to have some issues develop because of the individual and something they have and you don't, so they might be susceptible to some kind of reaction, whereas you don't. That is on every drug label you get. I mean, my God, when you finish reading the threats of the things you might suffer, You think, well, I'd just rather have the disease because I'm more worried about the vaccine. Now, again, I'm not going to tell you that you should or should not get these when they come out if they decide to push forward. The avian flu has been on an uptick in California, and last week or two, Governor Newsom authorized his state health officials to go in hazmat outfits on the farms without permission, just to go on and start grabbing cattle and checking them. And some of the cattle farmers in California said, look, we separate them from the basic herd once we see it. We put them to the side, and really after a few days, they're just fine. And, of course, if they're dairy cattle, you're worried about the milk they may be giving, pasteurized or non. And if it's beef cattle, you worry about that. But, again, it's going to be a control and a hold this administration might try to push. Why? Because they can. And Lena Nguyen, who had been with the Baltimore Health Commission, points out, well, we have a great source that's giving us an idea of what to do. You know who this is? I almost gave it away. You want to know who? Who? Like the WHO, World Health Organization?
Well, the World Health Organization estimates that in prior outbreaks of the bird flu, that the mortality rate is 52%. 52%. However, in this most recent outbreak, it seems that most cases have been mild, and maybe some people even have asymptomatic infection. But the question is, we don't know what happens when bird flu affects more vulnerable individuals. People infected so far in the U.S. have been mainly farm workers who are working, presumably generally healthy, as opposed to what happens when you get to children, to pregnant women, to older individuals with chronic illnesses. We don't know how deadly, how dangerous bird flu is going to be for those individuals. And again, that's one more reason why we don't want it to spread.
And that's one more reason for many of us to question, well, how do you know it's going to affect and what harms it might cause to the most vulnerable, the elderly, the young, the pregnant? Well, already they're coming out of the woodwork. Dr. Fauci leading the charge to talk about, oh, we've got to be concerned here.
The sobering news is that can change because the virus infects more than one species, and we know it can infect pigs. Pigs are on farms with chickens and with cows.
Yeah,
and chickens and cows can infect with their virus a pig, and then a human virus can go into pig, and then you could get a reassortment of a virus that has some of the dangerous qualities of H5N1.
We've already seen this year that there have been a number of mammalian species close to humans that now have bird flu outbreaks. We have outbreaks in poultry in all 50 states. 16 states have outbreaks in cattle. In California, in the last 30 days, there have been more than 300 herds that tested positive. And now we have 66 cases of bird flu in humans. And this is almost certainly a significant undercount because we have not been doing nearly enough testing. So we really don't know the extent of bird flu that's out there in humans.
But it sounds like it doesn't. It sounds like from what you're laying out, you don't think this country has learned from the COVID pandemic. And there's not a sense of urgency right now.
Our agencies are making the same mistakes they made with COVID. The principle, number two principle of pandemic is detect. And the only way to detect for viruses is to test. You cannot see a virus through symptoms. You miss so many cases. Yet we're still talking about flu-like illness.
Again, that was Dr. Lena Nguyen, who had been with the Baltimore Public Health Commission. Before her, Dr. Birx, and before her, of course, Dr. Fauci. This is fear-mongering again. We don't know. I mean, the death count's been up to 50%. They're not talking about humans, necessarily. It's really hard to tell what they're talking about because they don't want you to see exact figures and everything. This is, again, where if you think you might be exposed, you might have something of that effect, you be talking to your doctor. And you and your doctor make a decision what's best for you. But we know Dr. Fauci and how things had been shuffled around when he was in control and hidden. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin is going to be in a leadership position starting here in January, and he's telling Fauci, here's your warning.
I'm putting you on notice. We have emails from other sources. Okay. So you better not destroy records because that's a criminal act.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff would be punished. Do I think Anthony Fauci is a particularly evil man? I do because I've read Bobby's books. Okay. Do I think he deserves probably jail time? Yeah. Is that my primary goal? No, my primary goal is exposure and accountability. Let's destroy whatever reputation he has because he should have nothing but an awful reputation. And so to me, it's always been the same case. It's, you know, in politics, exposure and accountability is the first punishment and probably the most important because it deters other people from, and that's the whole purpose of punishing. From my standpoint, is deter others from doing the same type of thing. There's certainly a role for actual punishment, or else, I mean, like jail time, because that's a real deterrent as well. But you know, Anthony Fauci was 80 some years. I don't care to see him in jail, but I want him fully exposed.
Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson. Best disinfectant, sunshine, and the spotlight. And he's making it clear to him, I'm putting you on notice. We have emails from other sources. You better not be destroying records. There's going to be an accounting for several of the Biden White House actions. Mayorkas on the border. AG Garland on weaponizing federal agencies, which include the FBI and FBI Director Wray. Trump's nominee to lead the FBI says all of this started early. Cash Patel.
James Comey, for the first time that I can remember the FBI in U.S. history, had an intrusion of a political party's home network. Intrusion. Board in. And the FBI would go there normally, take the entire server and spend weeks exploiting that thing because it's so big. Comey handed the server off to CrowdStrike. And the CEO of CrowdStrike at that time was this guy Henry, who used to be James Comey's assistant. Not only that, he gave the private funding contract to CrowdStrike to exploit the DNC server because the fake news and the DOJ and the FBI wanted the narrative out there that Russia did the intrusion. But only 25% of that server has ever been exploited to date because the FBI gave it to CrowdStrike. That cannot happen unless the DNC, the FBI, the DOJ, the media are coming in and saying, we need this to stop.
And with Cash Patel coming in, we're going to need to reopen that inquiry and look into that in more detail. And, of course, then you have the Hunter Biden laptop.
When you look at the reports that I've made public about the FBI and what the investigatory steps they took into that laptop, you see they were shut down. You see now whistleblowers coming forward, whether it's the tax angle, which is a whole nother animal, or the criminal probe. You see it went up the chain and people said no. And here's the most glaring thing. Never in my life as in law enforcement or Intel or DOD, when we had a target of investigation and we said, we are going to go interrogate you, were we refused. Not by the target, but by DOJ. The DOJ and FBI shut off the investigatory investigation interview request of Hunter Biden 2 years ago. And never allowed it to happen. That cannot happen unless it's coordinated by the deep state.
By the deep state, and it was. That's the way they were dealing with it. And, of course, the other thing the deep state has been involved in, and that includes the media, the state-controlled media, as I call it, trying to hide how bad Joe Biden was. Not only is it last year, the current year now, the year before, maybe 6 months after he came into office. Maybe he never should have been into office. And even now the state-controlled media is calling it. I've got a piece here in front of me. CBS News reporter Jan Crawford claiming, as of yesterday, Biden's declining mental acuity appeared obvious to all but members of the corporate media whose very job it was to cover the White House and its occupant. She is the network's chief legal correspondent, and she noted the nature of the entire 2024 election could have been reshaped if that Biden's lack of mental acuity could have been addressed sooner. but it wasn't. Well, with that in mind, you have to ask, and we have been asking, who the hell is running the government?
Jake Sullivan, the current national security advisor to the president of the United States, is the guy that was out there advertising the Alpha Bank server connection that they had bought and paid for to the world, is saying, look, we have proof of Donald Trump's a Russian asset, when they were the ones that launched that operation to fund that false narrative. He's at 1600 Pennsylvania. So in my opinion, that crew of the Clinton Obama class has been running the Democratic institution for a long, long time. And they're not stopping with Biden. They're smart enough to know they want Biden out, but they haven't figured out yet how to do that.
Now, on that point, he was saying that that was actually stated a little bit before they made the decision that he's going to ride it on out and we'll just see what happens. But they could still make a change here at the end. They could still decide that he's going to remove himself as president and let Kamala come in the closing days. That could still happen. It doesn't still identify for us and clarify for us who is running the White House right now. Joe Biden or Jake Sullivan or all the mess that's behind them? Obama? I mean, how far back do you want to go? We do know there's going to be a lot of changes. And they fear most of all, not the changes, but what might be uncovered as Kash Patel and the rest of the Trump administration come in, Senator Ron Johnson, as you were hearing earlier, digging up emails and details that have been hidden, covered over, maybe even tried to be destroyed. It's all going to be gutted. Later in this hour, the legacy of President Carter, who passed away at the age of 100 over the weekend. He was our nation's longest living president. Plus calls for the New York governor to resign because of crime on the New York City subways. It continues to get out of control. In fact, the Guardian Angels say, we will take over the subways because New York City police and the mayor, the governor, are not doing the proper job. Coming up next is China pushing to start a war before Trump gets into office. Gordon G. Chain will join us. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. True story. I was with Jay Ackerman, and a waitress came up and began praising Ackerman Toyota. She was afraid she might need a new car, so she had gone to Ackerman and was told, you don't really need a new car, just new tires. Obviously, tremendously relieved and thanking Jay over and over. Another example where Ackerman Toyota did what's right for her and will for you. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. John Beal knows it right after a hailstorm. New roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is News Talk STL.
Happy girl taught me those things a young man should know.
Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest coming up is we've had on numerous times, and you see him all across the networks and various sources because he is an expert on China and what they're going to be doing. Gordon G. Chang is also the author of the latest book, China is Going to War, and now some are thinking they're going to try to take advantage of this lull time between now and when Trump gets into office. Gordon, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, Larry. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir. And I hope you had a most blessed Christmas. Now, do you believe that China is itching to do something before Biden has to relinquish the Oval Office?
Well, it could be. We know that in general, China's leader talks about going to war all the time. He's engaged in the fastest military buildup since the Second World War. He's sanction-proofing himself. He is stockpiling grain and other commodities. He's firing military officers who are opposed to going to war. He's mobilizing civilians. So, yeah, we got to be prepared for anything at any place at any time. And clearly between now and the inauguration, one of those times that we've got to be ready to defend ourselves.
Well, that brings the next point as to how effective we are. There was a December 5 hearing of this month, of course, 25 days ago, the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, rebuilding the arsenal of democracy, and they basically were saying, we're not prepared to take on China at this point or anytime in the near future.
Yeah, we're not taking on China. I mean, they're taking on us.
Well, what I mean is we're not prepared to deal with them in force.
Right. Absolutely. You know, the Chinese military is not as strong as it appears, but nonetheless, the committee was right because we are at a disastrous state of readiness. The U.S. Navy is a broken institution, and we know that because all the disasters since 2017, including one a couple weeks ago when the USS Gettysburg shot down an American plane that was landing on an aircraft carrier. And the U.S. Air Force also has got problems. So, yes, we're not ready. And the Biden administration is not talking to the American people and has not talked to the American people about what the Chinese leader is talking to the Chinese people, which is China is prepared to kill Americans, and we're not prepared to defend ourselves.
I'm looking at a quote from my defense technology chief strategy officer, and he said, if there's a conflict, we may be ready for day one. But we're utterly unprepared for day 30, let alone day 300.
Well, I think what they're referring to is that we'd run out of ammunition very quickly, and that's probably right. I think that the Chinese would do very, very well in the first week of war. And the reason is that they have planned and scoped everything out, and officers would not have much discretion. There would be a plan, and they would implement it. The problem for China is that it's a communist military, and the communist military is very bad at defending itself after an initial attack. And the reason is that it has two reporting lines, one political, the other military. The political line's more important, and that type of split decision-making, it fares very poorly when a victim counterattacks. So, yes, we'd run out of ammunition, but the Chinese would also, I think, have real problems in that period as well.
You're listening to Gordon G. Chang, an expert on China. In fact, you can follow him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Their first, if they decide to start taking some direct action, and by that I mean physical military action, it's not going to be the U.S. proper, but we are concerned and involved in Taiwan and in South Korea.
Well, it would be the U.S. proper because if China decides that it's going to go after Taiwan, Japan, the Philippines, or whomever, they will be fighting on American soil on day one, or maybe even before day one. We have all of these Chinese males who have come across our borders with false asylum claims. That's coincided with an increase of Chinese attempts to get onto our military bases. So they're planning. They're looking for our vulnerabilities, looking at our patterns, and they will hit us on the American homeland. And we will have a fight because we will lose people here. In the next war, there's going to be no distinction between military and civilian because the Chinese will kill both military and civilians.
You know, I was going to correct myself and say I didn't mean the continent, but you are right. And we've been raising that issue about the Chinese illegals crossing our border, young military-age men. They're not just coming here to work.
No, they're not. And I just give you an example. And it's not just our southern border. It's our northern border as well. In February, three Chinese males were apprehended by Border Patrol. On the U.S. side of the border, this was Maine, there was a fourth Chinese national who was obviously there by prearrangement. And that says something. You know, if you're desperate to live in a free society, you give yourself up to Border Patrol. That's what you want to do because you want to get into the system. If you're trying to come in undetected, you're coming in for some nefarious purpose. And we know that this occurs both at our southern and northern borders.
Would you have any idea when a date or what action might initiate any action by them?
No, I don't have a date. But as I said, we've got to be prepared anytime. For various reasons, I don't think that the Chinese would, for instance, start hostilities by launching an invasion of the main island of Taiwan. That's too difficult for them. But they can start a war any place because they could stumble into a war. They're engaged in very belligerent activities that can escalate very quickly. So we also know one other thing, Larry. And that is, we don't know Xi Jinping has made a decision to go to war yet, but we know that he's made a decision to risk war. And we know that because he's already risking war, especially with U.S. treaty allies, which means he is now prepared to kill Americans. And we have got to start protecting ourselves. And unfortunately, we've had a political system, Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives, who have not gotten the American people ready to go to war. And I hope that President Trump will do that, but that's not his style. And so far, the actions he's taken on China have not been particularly favorable to the American people. I'm referring to TikTok.
Go ahead.
There's two things that the incoming Trump team has done on China. One of them was the provision in both the Senate and the House funding bills to establish a mechanism to review and to limit investments made by Americans into China. That was killed. The second thing is more direct. Last week, President Trump actually filed an amicus brief at the Supreme Court to give TikTok an extended period of life in the United States. That is not a good thing for the United States. And so we've got to be concerned that President Trump will not take those actions that are necessary to defend ourselves. I hope he will. This is still early days. We know that he's very concerned about China, but the question is, will he act with the urgency that is necessary? Because the Chinese are acting with that urgency, and the Chinese are prepared to take American lives, as we know that they've done with fentanyl.
What you just laid in the center of the room, sir, was a grenade, and you walked out, and now we're all waiting to see it go off if you think that Trump is not going to be as strong and as tough as he needs to be with China. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I don't know the answer because the TikTok amicus brief at the Supreme Court was not a good sign. I mean, if you have a president who understands the urgency of the situation, they would be taking every measure possible to limit American investment into China and to prevent the Chinese from infiltrating our society and affecting political discourse in our country, which TikTok does. So, yes, we've got to be concerned. And I hope that President Trump sees the urgency. But right now, the American people need to impress on their president-elect that this should be top of the agenda.
He's put tariffs at the top of the agenda, but that's not resolving what you're bringing up.
I hope that he imposes those tariffs soon, because that would be a great victory for the American people, because we need to deny the American market to China. And the reason is China is using the profits from sales to Americans to build his military and to get his regime ready for war. So we need to stop the flow of American cash, American trade cash, American investment cash, American technology.
All right. G. Gordon Chang, I want to thank you. Gordon G. Chang, I'm sorry. I want to thank you again. And you can find him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. The latest book, China is Going to War. And I would like to put a couple of pauses behind that, but we'll see how fast. Gordon, as always, we appreciate your time, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Larry, and stay safe.
Yes, sir. You too. And again, the best for the new year, 2025. There's a statement from General Flynn he's put out on one of his social media points about our Navy has an issue. They're not trained and ready for war. Talking about our Navy, he said our Navy has, quote, insufficient gender experts. And he's saying that not as his opinion. He's just saying that's what we're dealing with. He said there was wasting time inside the Navy that we're focusing on gender-oriented maritime security. He said the admiral that's in charge of that should have been bounced. And he said, Pete Hegseth, you got your work cut out for you when you come in. And that's a fact. Coming up, the Camp David Accord, one of the crowning achievements of the Carter legacy. And also, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free, quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545, 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545. 689-0545. Or go direct. PRIGlobal.ai. PRIGlobal.ai. Want a special gift for someone who enjoys a good cigar or premium whiskey? Head for Lit Cigar Lounge in the district of Chesterfield Valley. You'll also find amazing, unusual lighters and ashtrays. You can't decide? Get a gift card. When you finish, walk a few doors down and enjoy Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. The pizza baked in a coal-fired oven. Select from the menu or design your own. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. This hour of Larry Connors USA, brought to you by my friends at Renewal by Anderson. And listen to this. Renewal is having a killer of a sale. Buy any window or door. Get a second one. 50% off, zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal has the most five-star reviews of any full-service window company. Simply dial #250, #250, and say the key word, windows.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is CBS News Special Report. From Washington, here is Walter Cronkite. Good evening. The Mideast summit at Camp David is over, and Israel and Egypt have agreed to two documents taking a giant step toward achieving peace in their troubled corner of the world. Israel has agreed to end its military government on the west bank of the Jordan River and to permit Palestinian self-rule there within 5 years, and to withdraw from the Sinai and to establish normal relations with Egypt. President Carter, President Sadat, and Israeli Prime Minister Begin have now helicoptered down to the White House from Camp David and are about to appear in the East Room there to report to the nation and to the world.
When we first arrived at Camp David, the first thing upon which we agreed was to ask the people of the world to pray that our negotiations would be successful. Those prayers have been answered far beyond any expectations.
Yes, but those expectations did not last long. But it was a crowning achievement for the Carter legacy. Jimmy Carter was a failure in many ways on the domestic policy and international, but he did get Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin to come together at Camp David, and after 13 days, they worked out a settlement that brought the two nations closer together. And for that, Carter got a Nobel Peace Prize. But he wasn't doing it for the prize. He was doing it because he genuinely believed that maybe he could be the one that could bridge the gap between Jerusalem, Israel, and Egypt. And at that time, you didn't have all these terrorist groups as we do now, multiplying over and over again. And Anwar Sadat was obviously very high. He's the third president of Egypt. So to come together and sign off on the Camp David Accords gave a glimmer that maybe there would be peace going forward. Unfortunately, that did not last that long. The Yom Kippur War started in the 80s when the Egyptian army, and of course we're talking about the Camp David Accord was 1978, so 2 to 3 years later, we've got the Egyptians fighting the Israelis. They crossed the Suez Canal, took back the Sinai Peninsula from Israel at the beginning of the Yom Kippur War. And it wasn't shortly after that that Sadat was assassinated during an annual victory parade held in Cairo to celebrate the victory he had had. Part of the world there that just, you make all the arrangements, you think you have things in place, and you might have peace, and it's always a very tenuous peace. As we're seeing now with Israel, Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza, Iran, and keep in mind, you were hearing this with Gordon G. Chang a moment ago, you've got Iran involved with China in some of these actions as well, and Russia. Jimmy Carter was, to me, truly a man of faith. I believe he did walk and believe in his faith deeply. He wrote an extensive diary, which he later released. And in the second hour coming up, we're going to have a little bit more on that diary and some of his thoughts about other people. And there was a very interesting piece that was noted by a presidential historian involving Carter and Donald Trump, long before Trump got into politics, as he later did, and to the extent he did. This would have been when Carter was still president and Trump was a Democrat, but they didn't like each other. I think you'll be interested in that story. That'll be coming up in the next hour. Now, to more pressing immediate issues. There is talk that come January 7, the man being held for burning a woman on a subway train won't really face charges until January 7. I mean, it's so laid out, but they're delaying it, messing around. He's an illegal. probably obviously mentally disturbed. But the New Yorkers and those going to New York for the holidays, as they just did, maybe going up for New Year's Eve and those out for New Year's Eve coming up in a couple of days, how many of them would dare get on the subway train? Well, here's a response of one New Yorker to Governor Hochul.
We all witnessed the horrible tragedy on the F train heading to Brooklyn, a train my wife would take every single day. I am calling on Governor Hochul. I am begging and pleading with you to resign now. This job is just beyond you. Unfortunately, in New York, there is no recall. So I'm asking.
So he said he was asking.
Stock of the rest of the country. Governor Hochul, please find something else to do with your life.
That sound got interrupted. We had a little technical glitch, and we're having some of those beginning to occur. We'll see if we can get through the full 2 hours without more of them happening. Hochul, I don't know what the citizens would want her to do. She could put National Guard troops on the subway trains. That's a possibility. The police are stretched as they are. The Guardian Angels, founded by Curtis Sliwa, are stepping forward and saying, we will start riding these trains and doing what we can to protect the public.
Well, in our day and night patrols, three-person patrols, we're all together. We're walking through the cars, which is something the police no longer do. Notice there are no mental health.
Curtis Sliwa, and again, we had that technical glitch cut him out. But he pointed something out. He said, the police no longer walk through the cars. They're mainly on the platform. So when the train comes to a halt, if there's an issue, and somebody can holler out to the officers on the platform, then maybe they can assist and do something at that point. Back to the issue with Biden. Off on vacation as of last Friday. Now he's talking about he's going to make a trip to Italy in the next week or so. Once again, on your dime. And most folks realize and have recognized, even on the left, he's checked out. He just does not understand what's happening, doesn't really care. And to that extent, it may well be that all of these pardons and commutations he gave the other day for death row inmates, he didn't even know what he was signing. I'll guarantee you he did not put that list together. Now, did he have a list provided to him and he acknowledged this was a good list? That we may not know. But checked out. Donald Trump says also, with everything that's been going on, if you can get past Biden being checked out, maybe we're seeing some results. But again, that issue, how much is Biden actually checked out at this moment? No one can give you a clear answer. But taking another trip, a foreign trip, in his closing days of the office, and then releasing all of these death row inmates. And yet there's a feeling not only in the air but amongst the people when it comes to what is coming in 2025 with Trump coming in. And it's not just limited to our nation. The effect is a ripple around the world. Donald Trump.
Calling it the Trump effect because even before taking office, we're already bringing in the jobs and opportunity and safety and common sense back to the USA. We're bringing common sense back. We're going to embark on the most exciting and successful period of reform and renewal in all of American history. My administration will live by the motto, promises made, promises kept. We did keep our promises. We're going to cut your taxes, end inflation, slash your prices, raise your wages, and bring thousands of factories roaring back to America. And right back here to Arizona. Coming soon to America, to a theater near you, right?
And, of course, there's been talk about getting Canada to become part of the U.S. And it's not really going to become the 51st state, but basically while you'll have the border designating where Canada starts and ends and where the U.S. starts and ends in the north, you'll no longer have checkpoints. And you'll have a dual currency, and you'll have maybe multiple projects they can work on together as one nation, each protecting their own interests, obviously. No Canadian wants to be under an American rule, and no American wants to be under a Canadian rule. But the very fact that they're talking like this, it's signaling, yeah, the Trump effect is being felt. Kevin O'Leary, as you well know, from Shark Tank, O'Leary Investments, very big investment group. He's Canadian. And he said he's already going to be going to Mar-a-Lago and talking to Trump about what can we do between the two nations to make us stronger. And Trump has also, as you well know, said we need to take over the Panama Canal again. We need to take it back. We built it and then sold the Panama Canal for $1. It cost $395 million U.S. dollars when it was built at that time, and it's something like 20-plus thousand lives were lost, 5,000 of those American. And he's also looking at Greenland. Greenland would be an asset to protect us in our national security from Russia. These are all visions. The immediate thing, of course, is getting the budget passed, moving forward. Trump has made it clear again today that he's still supporting Speaker Mike Johnson as Speaker. To me, that suggests that Mike Johnson is bending to whatever Trump does want to happen. I want to go back in history. You listen to the way the Trump administration talks and did in the past and does now directly from Trump. I want you to hear from former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. She was a conservative. And when we continue, you're going to hear that she sounded very much like Trump. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
The Napoli heritage of fine dining continues with Napoli Kirkwood. Napoli Kirkwood, now open. So add that to Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. And don't forget about Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district, Chesterfield Valley. All of those locations, plus now, open, Napoli, Kirkwood.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You want to keep more of the money you earn? I'm afraid that's very selfish. We shall want to tax that away. You want to own shares in your firm? We can't have that. The state has to own your firm. You want to choose where to send your children to school? That's very divisive. You'll send your child where we tell you. Mr. President, the trouble with Labour is that they're just not at home with freedom. Socialists don't like ordinary people choosing, or they might not choose socialism.
Margaret Thatcher, and she's absolutely right, they were not going to be choosing socialism. Margaret Thatcher said, for the longest period of time as a British prime minister. And at the same time, she was very in tune with what was happening all the way through from 1979 to 1990. She was active. She was forceful. She set a standard for the Brits and the rest of the world. I've got a statistic here talking about Americans that you're not going to like. And she was talking then just about how you want to send your children to school of your own. No, you'll send them where we want you to. She was not in favor of that, nor in favor of the indoctrination that has been going on in our nation. Prager University did a study, and they found that only 36% of American adults could pass the U.S. citizenship test. This was actually reported by NBC News. The U.S. citizenship test has 100 questions ranging from what is the supreme law of the land to who wrote the Declaration of Independence. Those applying for citizenship, immigrants coming in, must correctly answer 6 out of 10 randomly selected questions, a pass rate of 60%. Yet surveys are showing that native-born Americans perform worse than foreign-born residents seeking citizenship through naturalization. Therein lies a problem, and therein underscores we have an education system in our nation that is failing. And it has been failing, and we've been all wrapped up in wokeism. And there's a good reason to get away from it. Coming up, more about a meeting between Trump and President Carter. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.